This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And good evening. Welcome to Dystopical. It is a lovely evening in Melbourne, and I'm very, very glad to be back in town.
I'm very glad that you're back in town too, Farin.
Oh, darling. So this evening we'll be talking about our mothers, and we're happy for you to talk about your mothers too. In keeping with the Christmas spirit and the time being about friends and family and all the people that you love, over the next couple of shows we'll be talking about our nearest and dearest and how that works with our queerness. Did you see how I just
or whether
know, totally
it doesn't
rhymed
work at all? I know, that was amazing. You should become a rapper, Farin.
I will.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I'm a poet and you didn't even know it.
Please stop. Oh, God. I've missed you, but just not that much.
So welcome back to the show. So we dedicate this one to our respective moms, Shalina and Kay, what we love about them, what we hate about them, and how we relate or don't. We'll also be playing some of our mom's favorite tracks, and looking at the playlist, it's no wonder we turned out the way that we did. And as always...
Sorry, I was going to say, at least your mother has a playlist. I couldn't actually think of a song except for classical, and then I just didn't want to do it.
I love classical, you should have done it. So anyway, as always, if you want to talk to us during the show, you can text us at 0427JOY949, Facebook us at Dystopical, or email us at dystopical@joy.org.au and tell us about your shenanigans with your mama. And ready to go to a song?
I am so completely ready to go to a song. Oh, you're pointing at me saying, just let's go to a song. Okay, we're going to go to a song now. Here we go with Mother Track, number one.
Hi, and welcome back to Dystopical. So we were just listening to Lionel Richie with Hello. we tried to listen to Cher's Believe, but we had a minor glitch, so we'll come back to that later.
We will come back to that
and
later.
And also one of my mom's favorite artists, Lucky Ali with Lifkarade. And basically the song is about giving them money. So it's all about, like, God, please give me money. I'm serious.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I love you, Mummy.
So tonight we're talking about lesbians and their mothers.
And
we both have mothers.
And we both thought it was important to talk about mothers. Just because we feel this almost, I don't know, I felt a compulsion to almost come out and come clean to my mother. And
I know, I tried to talk you out of it for the longest time.
Because that's healthy. But yeah, I'm sure we all have really, really different and unique experiences around that where, you know, with some of us, our mothers might have known from the time we were born, and, you know, others will never know. And most of us lie, I guess, somewhere in between.
Yeah, my mother is changeable on this topic.
So... Kat, you tried to come out to your mother when you were 24, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? That's what happened.
Sorry. I just choked on my water, is what happened.
It was a really difficult
experience. You say mother. Yeah, you say mother and I choke. I hope you're not listening, mother. I did. Well, actually, I tried to come out to her when I was about 13, but I couldn't really go through with it. And then, well, I didn't really try, I guess. I was about, 24. She came to visit me in Melbourne, and we were hanging out in my kitchen at the time. And we always used to have, you know, kind of deep and very personal conversations about sex and life and the universe and everything. And then one day in the kitchen she said, I think we were talking about sex. I just got my nipple pierced.
Nice
and
one.
And my mother, who's very quintessentially English, said something along the lines of, oh, darling, I didn't know you were into self-mutilation. and somehow that turned into something else. And then she said, so, Catherine Ann, how many people have you slept with anyway? And I said, well, do you mean men or women? And there was this awkward silence. And then she said, well, I guess either. And so I told her whatever it was at the time. And then nothing else was said about it. And I thought that she was, you know, kind of cool about it. And it was all fine and that she, you know, got it. And then it wasn't until that I decided that I wasn't bisexual and that indeed I was gay, which was quite a long time later.
At the ripe old age of?
31, 32 or something. Like, and I didn't think it was, you know, that big a jump, but clearly it is.
I think parents get really confused with the whole, so you're straight, now you're bi, now you're gay. Maybe you'll go back to being straight. Is that so unreasonable?
Yeah, well, because even if you're bi and you happen to be with a man, I think that if you're with a man and you're bi, there's an assumption that, you know, you're actually straight.
But looking at it from their point of view, I mean, there's still hope that you could eventually decide to go back to a man? No.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's a baby's thing. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know if they carry hope. I think they've given up now.
So what are they like these days?
So it was about 5 or 6 years ago. I remember I was on the phone to my mother and it was the pronoun thing that got me in the end. Like, I didn't think it was a big deal. I was just trying to have a conversation with her about my relationship, which was a little troubled at the time. And it was really tiring saying they. And in the end, I was like, I actually said to my mum, I never swear in front of my mother. I said, look, fuck it. Okay, she. This is the pronoun I'm trying to use, and this is impossible to keep saying they. And again, there was this awkward silence. And she seemed particularly unfazed. And then she said something I thought my mother, being the most open-minded woman on the planet compared to my other friends' mothers when growing up, was, well, darling, everyone needs to experiment. And I said, what?
Isn't that like the typical mother response? Trying to be accepting, but still sort of just letting you know that you're the child and you haven't quite made up your mind. Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay, darling. Pat, pat, pat. But my mother had never been the typical mother, so I was fairly surprised.
What's your mother like? What do you mean by typical or atypical?
Well, she was the one that, you know, that my friends came to when they wanted to ask questions about sex. I know...
Ugh. Ew.
I'm sure she would love me talking about this on air. I know everything about my mother's sex life.
Ew.
I know how many people she slept
Ew.
With.
Stop, just stop. I'm getting queasy here.
We were fairly open about this stuff. So I was very surprised when she said, oh, well, you know, everyone needs to experiment. And I said, look, I'm not actually experimenting, mother. And yes, I do call my mother mother. This is just the way it is. And she said, okay. And then again, I just immediately assumed that she was cool about it. And then about, it was only 2 years ago, my mother and father came to Melbourne to visit. We don't see each other that often. And I have never introduced her to a girlfriend before, or my father either. And so I decided that I would do that and, you know, said girlfriend dutifully came around.
Poor said girlfriend.
Yeah. To our house, Farin, where we live.
Yes, and, I know.
And my parents were so bizarre and really obnoxious and embarrassing. The girlfriend talked to my parents for about 3 or 4 hours while I was, you know, like poking her going, come on, let's go downstairs. I'm really bored. And she dutifully chatted to them about, you know, life, the universe, everything, the weather. And my mother, who, as I said, I always thought was really cool, just kept bringing up my ex-husband. Like, constantly. Oh, so how's Aaron? And, oh, gosh, I love Aaron. And what's Aaron doing these days?
So what do you think that was about? Because my mother has been known to do similar.
But it was just, I was just sitting there going, wow, all your social skills have actually just gone out the window.
And yours had social skills to begin with.
Well,
and mine is debatable.
Comparatively speaking, like, mine aren't great, but hers are, you know, vaguely better than mine. I just always thought she was really open-minded. And I think that, it turned out, I think, that she was in theory and not, and like, and obviously loving and supportive, like, you know, she's pretty amazing, but I think that she found the actual reality to be quite a lot to cope with.
See, and I think my mum is sort of, the experience has been quite the opposite. So in theory, she's really quite, you know, anti-gay and stuff like that, and has grown up in an environment that, you know, isn't really welcoming of, you know, queer lifestyles and stuff like that.
Mm. In fact, well, which is understandable for its own reasons.
But we'll tell that story later, maybe.
Yes, we will.
All right, so shall we go to more of my mama favorites?
Okay. Should we try with Believe one more time? Because I'm sure it would make her happy.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
To my mom and all the gay men out there. And welcome back to Dystopical. So that was Cher's Believe and Lionel Richie with Hello.
Yeah, I love your mother's music.
I know.
It's making me really happy.
It's no wonder I turned out gay.
I've been singing really loud.
If you want to talk to us, please text us at 0427-JOY-949, Facebook us at Dystopical, or email us at dystopical@joy.org.au, and tell us if you're a mother, if you're the daughter of a mother. This is going to be very complicated. Just about your life, your love, your relationship, and how you deal with each other, because sometimes it's very, very hard.
And I also think that it changes over time as well.
I know. I used to hate my mother when I was 13, and things haven't changed much since then.
Well, no, I've never hated my mother. I just think that, and she is very open-minded. I think as time goes by,
Are you feeling a bit bad about what you said earlier?
No, not at all. I was actually thinking about when I just went to visit them. Remember me ranting to you when I got home about the special friend comment?
My mom has a special friend thing, too.
I know, but my mother and your mother, chalk and cheese. I was shocked. We were sitting on the couch next to each other, and we've always had quite a combative, and like, she's always treated me like an adult, and we've always been very, like, sometimes revoltingly open with each other about stuff. And we were sitting on the couch, and she said, well, she wanted to know where my partner was, and I explained that we'd broken up and that's why we weren't coming for Christmas. And she was like, basically, whatever, which surprised me. And then she was like, do you have a special friend at the moment? And I remember I turned to her and I said, what did you just say? And she said, do you have a, and then mumble, a special friend. I was like, a special friend. A special friend, mother. Is that what we're talking about? A special friend. And she was like, and I said, look, all my friends are special. Are you trying to ask me something else? Are you trying to ask me if I have a lover at the moment? And she mumbled a bit more, and I was like, well, you know, lovers come and go, but friends are always special. And at this point, she got the point that I was deeply offended.
And see, I would just be happy if my mother asked me about my special friend, which she has actually started doing recently.
Well, I mean, in your case, this is great. This is a big progress. Move forward.
Absolutely.
Excuse me. But in my case, it was like 20,000 steps back. It was like, I was still seeing men, you would have no issue with asking me, but suddenly you're a bit, like, icky about the whole thing.
Well, maybe she doesn't...
We're using it as, like, special friend, which we've never done.
Well, maybe she doesn't know what the appropriate term is, because, you know, in their age, or, you know, in their
era... My mother's 64, not 1,000.
I know. But we used to call them, so you're going to go hang out with your girlfriends, you know? But then that gets confusing, because you might have... girlfriends, but then what about your special girlfriend?
Oh, I think she's pretty literate. I reckon she could have, like, you know, English is her first language. I think she could have just worked through it, but I was just surprised at how uncomfortable she was, and I believe this is something we should work through together next time I see her.
Well, put it on your therapist list.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's talk about your mother.
Sure.
So that I can feel better.
Sure. What would you like to know?
Well, I think we mentioned earlier to those of you that haven't tuned into just now, we are talking about lesbians and their mothers and coming out to one's mother and the reasons why and the consequences and how we feel about it. And I am trying to make light of it in my case. But yes, it cuts deep in some ways. But I was around when you came out to your mother, Farin, and, well... I wasn't awake, but I was around. And I remember I kind of tried to discourage you for a while because I was concerned about the consequences. But maybe you can talk about your cultural/religious background and upbringing and where you grew up and why it might be different, like, than me coming out to my white middle class English mother who still didn't take it that well.
Sure. So amongst one of the destinations on this little trek of mine was a cousin's wedding in England, actually. And he's a year younger than me. And so I was always sort of next on the list to get married. So I have been in huge disappointment in the fact that I failed to be the next one to get married, being that it's illegal in this country and all. But yeah, so my mom, you know, brought up the issue again to see if I was, you know, had a special friend and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and has now gotten to the point, and it's taken a fair few years to get to the point to ask if I have a special friend at the moment, which I consider to be great progress from where we started. 4 years ago, which was dead silence on her end, and her just really not getting it. Yeah, and I remember sort of calling Kat and then calling my cousin and then calling my sister and getting answering machines all around and just being completely distraught because my mother just was not handling the issue very well. And I had felt just, you know, at the age of, what was it, 27, it was time that I was honest to my mother about this part of me and that I wasn't ever going to get married to a man and I wasn't ever going to have his children. So I think that was really hard for her to deal with, particularly the marriage and kids bit because, you know, she's sort of come from quite a traditional background in Tanzania where that's what you do. You know, finish school and then you get married and then you have children. And I almost did. Like, I was almost there.
Yeah,
and then I totally failed her. At the last minute, I piked on a straight relationship. And now he's married and he has kids. And
she sends you photos.
She sends me photos of the child and of the mother of the child and says, she looks like you. Look, he picture because she looks like you. You still have a chance. And I was like, Mother, I don't want that chance, but thank you so much. After I came out to my mother, she really, really didn't get it. There had to be, like, interventions from, you know, family in Canada calling her and saying, it's okay, it's totally normal here. You know, women get married to each other all the time. It's not a big deal. She didn't talk to me for 3 months. It was very, very difficult for her. I let her have that space at that time. And then she contacted me, or I called her at some point, and we just talked about other stuff for maybe a year. We didn't talk about anything to do with gayness, or we just pretended that whole episode hadn't happened. And then the next time I met her, she said, so are you seeing anyone at the moment? And I said, no. And she said, so you don't have a special friend? Apparently this is a theme, a special friend theme.
It's part of the mother's club and lingo.
I said, no, do you have a special friend, Mom? And so we've slowly started talking about this stuff in language that is, you know, not couched around gay words or whatever, mm-hmm. but we're there. Even though it's not okay in our community because the rest of my family and the rest of my friends really normalize it for her and we still relate to each other as mother and daughter and we still fight about the same things like me being fat and blah, blah, blah. Like,
oh my God, it's like my mother as well. I'm either too fat or too thin.
Yeah, I've never been too thin for my mother or too fair for my mother.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, she... I guess we got to the point where she realized that I'm still essentially the same person. I haven't changed. And now she's kind of fixated on the fact that I will never be able to bear her grandchildren. So this is the next sort of myth that I have to set aright in the next few years. Don't worry, Mom, I can adopt them. She's like, that doesn't count. So that's another battle altogether.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count. So is it time to go to some more mommy songs? So
what have you got up next?
Okay, so this is a... I'm really excited about the next song, actually. It's The Gossip's take on Careless Whispers. So a little bit my favorite band, a little bit my mother's favorite band, and hopefully we'll be rocking together.
Okay, I haven't heard this, so I'm quite looking forward
to it. Take it away.
And welcome back to Dystopical on Joy 94.9. Fareen, what were we just listening to?
So we were listening to Gossip's take on Careless Whispers, which I thought was amazing.
I really liked it.
My voice is really good. And I was just really excited by that last track we played, Chill Out Bollywood in the Bush. I'm so going to that. You could. Did you see my like little bunger hand movements?
I actually did. I wasn't going to talk about them on air, but you know.
Oh, I want to. They were great. I want to share them.
They're great. Yep. Anyway, great.
Okay. So we're just moving on to Dear Dystopical, which is our regular agony aunt column, and we just. So the question for this week is, thinking about coming out to my mom or parents. Not sure how it will go. What should I do? Kat, what do you think?
I don't think we sold it that well. And yet I still think that we probably had much more positive experiences than a lot of other people. I think there's a lot of things to take into account. I guess it depends how old you are in a certain sense. And, you know, one tends to know one's own family, though you might get a few shocks. Like, you tend to know what their values are and, you know if someone's homophobic or not.
Yeah, I guess
it's a very personal,
I guess,
decision, I think.
I guess for me it was at the point where I felt sort of whatever way my mother reacted, that I would be okay, that I had a, you know, strong network of friends and other support, that I had, that I was, you know, almost economically independent, and so I wouldn't be completely lost if things didn't go the way that I hope they would go.
Absolutely. And look, I think that's a really big difference between coming out as an adult to your parents and coming out as a teenager when you still live with your parents. I know that I wanted to when I was, you know, very young, and I didn't even know where to start.
Yeah.
So I didn't, and I'm not at all advocating that one shouldn't, because, like, in your experience where, like, your mother is from very stringent religious and also culturally traditional background, you know, she still came around in the end because you're her daughter and she loves you.
Absolutely.
Though perhaps as an adult it was easier to bide the time until that did happen.
It certainly was, and at some points it was difficult for me. I remember after I graduated from my from undergrad, so when I was 23, I went back to Tanzania and was completely heartbroken because I'd broken up with my first girl love to go back home and try and work there, and I was just lying on my bed sobbing, and my mom would ask me, why are you so sad? And I would just say, I miss my friends back home. I miss my friends in New York, and I couldn't say that I was brokenhearted, and that's why I was crying.
Oh.
But she would get it now, so, you know, all sort of well. I guess one of the other things to sort of point out is to question why you're doing it. Is it a political statement? Is it to gain some acceptance from your parents? Is it to be honest about your lifestyle and who you are? And I guess you would have different approaches for all these different things. So I know that if my mother couldn't accept this part of me, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. So it would just be a part of me that I don't talk to her about, or we don't engage with each other about, because my relationship with my mother is more important than making some political statement about acceptance to her. But everyone is different.
I was going to say, I'm not sure that everyone would feel that way. Like, yeah. Some people want to be completely accepted by their families, which I think is, you know, a fair enough desire.
Well, I don't think I'm accepted in other ways by my family, so why should... I'm just saying, you know, like, everyone is different, though. And I think the political statement is really important, too. So we all do it for different reasons. Whatever reason you do it for...
I guess what I'm trying to say is, yeah, exactly, whatever reason you do it for, the most important thing is that you have a support network. And if it's not your family, then that it's a different support network.
And if you're having questions about this, if you ever want to seek support, you can always call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. Their number is 1-800-184-527. If you're a parent, I guess one of the best things you can do is tell your child it's okay, that you love them, that you'll accept them no matter what, to join PFLAG. I know it's kind of gay, but... But I think it's important for parents to join things like that, to say, it's okay, I love my child, no matter who they are.
I know it would actually have meant a lot to me when I was younger, that to have felt supported like that by my parents.
And I guess for me, it made it easier by not being all gay all the time with my mother. So it was really just about another element of me that, you know, she was coming to understand. So we still fought about the things we always fought about. We still talked about all the things we always talked about. We always gossiped about family members and other folks and what they were doing and, you know, caught up about those things. So we still interacted like mother and daughter, not like mother and gay person.
Well, that's right, and I think that that can also be, and I think perhaps that's an important part of coming out, is that everything can become about being gay.
Yeah. And I guess coming out older, you know that it's not all about that. It's part of it, sure. It's an important part of it. But, you know, my work, my education, my friends, God forbid my dog, you know, are all important to me as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my family. So, if you're thinking about coming out, make sure you have all the supports around you, but I would encourage you to just to go out there and do it. And hopefully, even if not at first, they will love you and support you, and they might even come to the next Pride March in a rainbow sundress.
And if they don't, I just would like to say that it's really worthwhile finding friends to talk to, because it's very important to be accepted for who you are. And you know, people are from different backgrounds, and they're from, you know, different eras, and it can generations, and it can take a while for certain things to sink in. And I think it's from your experience, Farah, what I got from that was that it was important not to take the initial reaction as the final reaction.
I knew that she would come around eventually, even if she didn't know.
Yeah, but it felt pretty crappy at the time.
It felt like I was being rejected as a person.
But it doesn't always turn out that way.
And I felt like I was disappointing her, which is a horrible feeling.
And I to echo the words of that campaign that's become completely viral, it does get better. It really does. And on that note, I think I'm going to play a track.
Oh, this is one of my mom's favorite anthems, and one of mine, and my sister's. And welcome back to Dystopical. So just quickly going through events this weekend, the highlight, I guess, for us is Grouse Partey's third birthday, featuring DJ Samson. You can get tickets at Moshtix, and apparently they're nearly sold out. I'll be there. Signing autographs. And so next week's show, keeping with the Christmas theme, we'll be talking to our friends and family from across the oceans about queer Christmas rituals and what we plan to do for Christmas this year.
Which is so fascinating. don't miss it, no matter what you do.
And we'll also be singing carols to you.
We might sing live.
Even. So coming up next is Cat Sound Museum.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I, you know, vagued out because I was thinking about Christmas. I was getting
such
all
an
excited.
Exciting time for you.
I love Christmas. Mm-hmm. So coming up next is Sound Museum, which is Inside the Music Industry with Jono and Leo and Petro.
And we just wanted to say a big thanks to our moms for being such rich material, and our therapists, thank you too. And we're just going to end with Krista Berg's Lady in Red.
So good night, and we will talk to you next week.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.